Committee of the Whole meeting to order for October 2nd, 2017. Madam, could I have a roll, please?
Mayor Olson is excused. Alderman DeAndrea?
Here.
Alderman Mayer?
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderman Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Barber?
Here.
Alderman Nelson?
Here.
Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Since the mayor is excused and I am sitting in as the Common Council President, I will vote on any matter that will come in to play.
As Alderman.
We're not really voting, but if anything comes up.
We can, yeah.
So. Yeah, well, we'll see if everybody's ready to take it to that point. Review of the mayor's recommended 2018 budget, including all funds, departments, revenues, expenditures, and activities, and all the department heads, or most of the department heads, are in attendance. So, Alderman, I hope that everybody's had at least an opportunity to go through the budget. They've spent a lot of time, along with Paul and Mark, and the mayor in preparing this budget and presenting it to us. Historically, in the past, the mayor presents this to us. Now it's our budget. We do what we want, what we see fit to do with this budget. And in most cases, the mayor has left the presence of this group, and it's a discussion that we've had. But recently, the mayor's been sitting in on it. So, in light of things that are going on, I know Alderman Taylor needed to make a statement. He did present a paper of here called Diminishing State Aids and Impact on Local Control. And he'd like to give us a little explanation on this document.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Hey, thanks.
So excuse my voice. I've been dealing with the cold the last couple weeks, and it's not gotten better, it's gotten worse and throughout the day. And I was at the courthouse since 9:30 dealing with the county budget, and so I'm on fumes right now. And to be honest with you, I've had not a lot of time to review all of this budget, and so that's something that before I'm ready to cast any votes, I need to do that myself. So what I wanted to put in front of you guys, I asked Mark Liberta to take a look at what he titled, which is a good thing, is Diminishing State Aids and Impact on Local Control, which is an issue that I have rallied about up here for quite a while and also at the courthouse. And if you take a look, we go all the way back to 2009, which that was the first budget that I was involved in. So I thought that made sense to start there. And the only person that is elected sitting here right now at that time was Alderwoman Wilhelm. If you just take a look at what the state, in the top portion, which is basically the state aids, we have, as the time of the mayor's recommended budget, when he submitted it, $494,000 less today from the state than we received back in 2009. If you take a look at what's happened since the mayor submitted the budget with what's been reported by the state to the city, you added another $41,000. We're at $535,000 different than we were in 2009. And I think if I recall from the budget, we're going to raise the levy 3% and around $600,000. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's point one I want to make. And then the second point would be if you look at the other state aids, and Mr. Liberta, if you want to maybe discuss the erosion of local control on those items, that would be helpful.
We just made a couple notes for items not shown on the graph. But it's the additional impacts in the footnotes off to the bottom right. One, the motel room tax, despite having new hotels built in town and that increased revenue collection coming up, the state changed the rules and diverted approximately $100,000 a year, both for this year and next year, to the Tourism Commission. So it still benefits the community, but it's outside of our local control as far as the city goes.
So let me step in on that. So this is what we fought against. This council passed, adopted, you know, resolutions and sent to the state, you know, opposing this, as did many municipalities, also the League of Municipalities, because you literally just took dollars out of our operating budget and are forcing us to spend that on tourism. Now, you know, we have The Rock, and soon we'll have Ballpark Commons, but you know, that's part of their job, too, as business owners. So that was taken out of our budget, taken from our taxpayers, and basically forced to spend it elsewhere. Thanks, Mark.
State-exempt computer aids. This budget that was just adopted by the state takes that line item, which used to fluctuate a fair bit based upon actual purchases of exempt computers done by businesses in the city that they were no longer paying personal property taxes on. They reported that to the state, and the state reimbursed us. They have done that for a number of years. This year, the governor's budget that was adopted and signed eliminates the actual number and just gives us what we had this current year, increased by 1.47%. And so they're going to do nominal increases instead of actually what occurs for our community. Well, you may recall my budget presentation. Our number was to be up this year by about $175,000. Some of that was being put to St. Martin's Fair Fund and the about $155,000 to capital outlay. So we've lost that control. And, in fact, we'll have to spend some time talking today about a memo I put at your place to try to resolve the fact that as of Thursday, when the Department of Revenue informed us that not to use the number they previously gave us a few weeks ago and that it would be a new number, we have a $155,000 hole in the capital outlay fund. And frankly, none of my peers and none of Paul's were aware this was buried in the budget. Very difficult to even see any reference to it in the League of Municipalities website as well. It seemed that they weren't really paying any attention to it. Had they done this 2 years ago, we would have been okay because our number was almost 600,000. But we're about a third of that now, and that's what we're stuck with going forward.
And so if you just take it simply, whether we would have known this, whether the mayor and staff would have known this while creating the budget, the reality is it's $174,000 that we no longer get from the state. And so now the budget has been put out, and there's going to have to be changes made that this body's going to have to make to come up with that $174,000. If we would have found out earlier, the mayor would have came to us with those recommendations made already. But now, you know, staff will make those. But this is just another swipe. It makes our job more difficult, and it's the state balancing their budgets on the backs of the cities and the counties.
Cable TV franchise fee, it's not actually a revenue we get from the state, but it's a revenue we receive under the authority of the state. And we did for years. We negotiated our own franchise agreements with the cable companies and utilities that work within our right-of-ways, and we got revenue from them. And the state took away that authority. They sort of locked in our rates where we were. As the cable companies continued to have some increased profits, our numbers did go up, but we no longer have the control that we used to when we actually negotiated our own franchise fees and right-of-way agreements with them. So again, they took that control away. And since there is more, as Paul likes to call it, cord cutting, a lot of people moving it to online services instead of cable services, we are beginning to see that revenue slow down the rate at which it was increasing in years before that. And the last one doesn't really impact this year's budget very much, and so I really haven't spent a lot of time looking into it myself, but I understand from the reports that the adopted budget also takes the personal property tax impacts and does to it similar to what they did with the state computer exempt aids about 10 years ago. where they say they're going to hold us harmless. I'm worried for what they mean by hold us harmless 5 years from now, given what they just did in the same budget, where they basically broke the promise they made then because they couldn't afford to. So I would be very hesitant in the future relying too much upon that with the state. But it doesn't impact the 2018 budget directly, but it's sort of foreshadowing.
So thanks, Mark. So basically, I just wanted you guys to have this information because it's something that, where I wear a different hat, we talk about often, we talked about today, and we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, almost $200 million, what the state has done to the county over the past, since from 2009 to 2015. And it just is, it's frustrating because, I've voted on how many budgets? This is my 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th budget, I believe. We're doing our jobs. And this just makes it so much more difficult. Yet we keep on, not we, the voters, keep on making some of these same decisions, and we're affected by it.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Ms. Wilhelm.
I think maybe we could add to that the cell tower loss of control for municipal right-of-way issues. And, Paul, maybe you could, I know you're not prepared for this, but we've talked about this in the past, this kind of what kind of money we do bring in from being able to control where those cell towers go.
The revenue included in the general fund for cell phone towers is in the $45,000 range, and the city splits an additional $45,000 with the water utility as a resource available to it. But if the cell phone tower revenue went away, that would be another $80,000 plus that the city would have to find additional resources to be able to meet its other operating requirements.
Right, and with the change in the law and the control over where the city can place them or not have the ability to say they can't place them, we kind of lose that control as well. So I think that should be added as number 5 on there.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Mark.
I just wanted to, if I could, make a little statement on procedure for this meeting, since there seemed to be a little confusion about voting at the beginning. If you refer to your packet item, the council action sheet for this meeting, it points out that it's true in most committee of the wholes you do not vote because you just forward things to the committee itself. The budget ordinance, however, identifies that at this meeting you can make a motion to tentatively amend the budget presented to you by the mayor. If the committee of the whole makes such a motion and then adopts it, that would modify the budget presented by the mayor, and those changes would be incorporated into the budget that is then put in the public notice and goes to the public hearing. So if you want some change to be part of the budget presented at the public hearing, you make a motion at this meeting. And what we've suggested, and we've used the same language each year since it's this procedure was adopted by the Common Council, we suggest a motion that to the tent, or in the nature of, I move to tentatively amend the mayor's recommended 2018 budget by, and then you state some action like add, modify, strike, state the location, the line item, and the amount, and usually we say for what purpose. And so you'll see there's an example we'll go through today, something Alderman Barber asked us to prepare where he really followed that structure. And the reason that we suggest that we say move tentatively, because the budget is a long document, and sometimes maybe you make a decision at the beginning to add something in, and by the time you get to the end, you realize you can't afford to add it back in. So usually at the end of the meeting, we represent to you any motion sort of as one list that all the changes you considered making, if any, and you confirm them if they need to be changed or confirmed, and then that ends up being the budget you send to your public hearing. So that's why you would be able to vote if you want to change the budget as presented to you so that a different budget goes to the public hearing.
Thanks, Mark. Dan, Mayor.
Thank you. So, Mark, we were coming into this looking to raise the levy 600-ish thousand, which in my mind is still too much. But now we just received this memo saying we're another 155,600 below that. So would that add to that 600,000?
No, if you want to jump to that, I can walk you through it. But since we had previously been sort of bitten by exempt computer aids before, in the operating side of the budget, we hadn't taken any of that increase and used it for regular operations. We had put it in the capital outlay fund for capital smaller capital items and in the St. Martin's Fair fund to fund prior year's deficits. So it doesn't affect operating, no need for additional property taxes, but and so we have gone through since Thursday and prepared in that memo suggested cuts that can be made to eliminate enough items to offset that anticipated revenue loss.
So that would offset this from that and still keep us at the 600,000 that you've been proposing?
Right. No additional levy by making sufficient cuts.
Okay. Dan, we're going to go through that as we touch that item in the book. Okay, so we'll go through that.
It came up now, so that was kind of a burning question, so I figured I would get that out of the way.
Okay, I understand your burning question. But we'll address that as we go through this, because we're going to go through it section by section. Similar to what Alderman Taylor had done, what we're going to do is just go through it section by section, ask questions of the department heads if you still got questions, and just to allow this to flow through. If you've got questions regarding what you've read, Mark and Paul are both here to address those questions. Some of you are freshmen here, never seen a budget like this before. Definitely speak up, ask questions. Okay, Steve.
So then the next, just so I can, thank you, Your Honor, the next step would be, this goes to the council tomorrow, which I'm not going to be any further today than I am tomorrow. And then when's the next scheduled, it was going to be the next council meeting?
The committee of the whole, you guys tonight, depending upon how far you get through it, how much more time you think you need, what questions you've asked us to come back for, you should probably at the end of tonight look at your current calendar, see if any of those meetings work for you. If not, in years past, there have been extra special right. committee of the whole meetings to complete the budget. Last couple years, it was able to be completed in this one evening.
Actually, on page 12.
The amendments last year, I brought amendments last two budgets. I don't believe it was at this meeting, though. It wasn't this early.
No, you didn't alter the mayor's recommended budget. You know, both of your proposals were made following the presentation of the public hearing.
Okay, so that's when I'd be ready to do mine at that time, I'm sure.
Okay. That's when mine was as well, the same time, same night. Yeah.
Okay.
Correct. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so what date would that be?
The public hearing.
So that would be a public hearing?
What's the date?
October 18th, preparation of public hearing notice.
Page 12.
Page 12, yeah.
Yeah.
Which date would that, are we talking about the page 12?
Location, budget public hearing. The 14th of November.
November? That's what we did?
Public hearing on the proposed 2018 budget.
In the current year, the timeline that the council adopted early this year had the public hearing scheduled for Tuesday, November 14th, at a special common council meeting because it's not your regularly scheduled meeting.
So that's when.
And so that would also be the night of the adoption of the budget.
So that's our drop dead date.
Yes.
But if we can't.
After that.
All right. If we can have this done a little bit earlier than that,
what's
it would
the prior
be
one? November.
November
18th.
November 6th.
November 6th. Yeah.
You really can't move the adoption of the budget up. You can very successfully because we still have to have a public notice. It has to be in the paper for a while. What you can move up, the real step at this point that you can adjust is how quickly, as a committee as a whole, you decide what budget goes to that public hearing. If you want to make any changes from what the mayor's done, you know.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thanks, Tina.
Thank you.
Sure.
Can
Could I just ask a question? If the computer aid, this is non-TID, is the TID computer aid reflected elsewhere? Because that's in excess of $490,000.
Yeah, but it goes to the TID and it stays in the TID. So this is just the, what's covered in the memo is just the general fund portion of it, not what is required to go to the TID.
Alderman Mayer.
Just two more quick questions. So just to clarify what I said a minute ago, the 155,000-ish cuts that went to keep the $600,000 additional levy might have been cuts that we could have added to bring that $600,000 down, but we were forced to use them to maintain the $600,000. Is that correct?
I would argue no, because we dealt with it all within capital, those one-time expenses, and you can't really use that to offset operating expenses, because then you're just left with a hole for the subsequent year.
Understood. So then my next quick question, and if we're going to come to this later, just let me know. We talked last week about what the average expense would be based on this $600,000 additional levy and possibly adjusting that one way or another, what the impact would be on the average home or per $100,000. We weren't able to produce that at the last meeting because we didn't have all the information. Are we going to be able to do that tonight? Or
That's probably part of the introductory piece. If it's okay with the chairman, I'll let you all get into that. Right,
okay. Cool.
Okay, Mr. Rosenberger, why don't we...
What's being circulated at the moment is a document which indicates the current tax levy as proposed or recommended by the mayor of $21,124,200 and the resulting tax rate of $5.64. And then beneath that is a schedule that would indicate if you wanted to add funds, monies to the tax levy, what the impact would be, and if you chose to remove tax levy, what the impact on the rate would be. The second page that was distributed to you takes the median home's value in the city of $250,000 in 2016 and increases it by approximately 5.2%, which was the average increase in residential property across the city for the revaluation that occurred in 2017. If you then impose upon that new assessed value of $263,000, the proposed or the mayor's recommended tax rate of $5.64, you come up with a city tax on that same property of $1,483.30, which is 4.3% greater than the prior year. While the levy goes up 3% because some of the assessed value shifted from non-residents to residential property, the city tax on a personal residence would increase by 4.3%. Beneath that, we indicated, because as we've talked to several of the aldermen, a desire to reduce the tax levy, if the tax levy, instead of being a 3% increase, were 2.75%, the city's tax rate would change to 5.626 cents, and the tax on that home would then become $1,480, or a 4% increase. There are lines there. If the tax levy increase were 2.5% and the tax levy increase were only 2%. We can go through additional calculations if requested by the council to further reduce the tax levy. But these are the impacts.
So our goal with these two sheets was basically to give you sort of a cheat sheet that you can take with you, put in your binder. And if you're looking at something and saying, well, how much is this cut going to make? You can put it in context with these two documents. You can see how it would affect the rate and how far down it would bring the levy.
So the first one shows a 3% increase.
The mayor's recommended budget includes a 3% increase in the tax levy.
Correct.
And then that's what's shown at the top of this impact on a median home. And then beneath that, if the tax levy increase were smaller, it would be increase on the resulting increase on a property.
Correct. Okay. Alderman Mayor.
So, again, if we're going to get to this, then I'll wait for it. But we also talked last week about the change in the taxation where businesses would pay less of the impact, and I think that's what you were kind of getting to with non-residential being put onto residential this time, which increases the residential taxes, the rate?
Well, in that the tax levy is increasing 3%, if all the things were being equal, all properties in the city would only see a 3% increase in their city tax. But because the allocation of the levy changed with the revaluation, private residences will see a bigger increase in taxes, and non-residences will see a smaller increase in taxes.
And that's a general statement, because there are classes of residential properties or neighborhoods that maybe had a below-average increase compared to other residential properties. So the question you're really getting into isn't so much a budget question as it is an assessment, a revaluation question. The distinction.
So it's still a budget, because the assessment is one thing and what the taxes they pay is the second question. And we've got our whole 70-30 thing here. Doesn't that kind of blow that all out of the water? I mean, we want to get a proportion of 70, and I'm not trying to argue with you guys. I'm trying to argue with where this came from. We want to get 70% residential. We want to get 30% commercial to offset the taxes and to support our tax base. But with the changes made at the state, doesn't it blow that out of the water and say residential is going to have to pay more than non-residential?
I think the assessor would argue that it isn't changes made at the state. It's changes in the market value, changes in the real estate value. There are some pieces in there that are, you could say, are changes in the state, like the change they made to agricultural value 10 years ago, where they're only assessed at a percentage of what would be their value because of their agricultural nature. So the Supreme Court so allowed
because residential assessment went up, there's going to be a higher part of the levy based on residential payments. Okay. That wasn't the idea I got last 2 weeks ago. I got the idea that things were changing.
Alderman, the rate of change in assessments was different for different classes of property.
Okay.
So you have four major classes of property in the city: residence, commercial, manufacturing, and a very small piece of what we'll call all other agricultural personal property.
And is that the change that came from the state?
Now, there's two changes that are going along here. The first change was the city adopted a revaluation that caused the assessor to look at every property and say, what's its market value today versus what it was a year ago, and reassessed it based on its current value. In that process, some properties changed at a rate different than the city did in average. And certain classes of property changed at a rate different than the city did in total. To the extent that a property changed at a rate different than the city did in total, that property's tax will go either up if they rose at a higher rate, or lower if their property values increased at a smaller rate or actually decreased.
I understand that.
Because the rate is a function of the levy divided by the assessed value.
Yes.
Now, an element included in the 2017-18 state budget adopted a sunset of the personal property tax that impacts things a year from now. And at that point, a whole class of property in the city of Franklin, as well as across the state, will become exempt from tax. And that will take the levy and shift it to all those properties that continue to be taxable.
Okay. To the extent that they don't replace the lost revenue, because there is a function built in the budget where the state is supposed to hold us harmless for that. They have not been very good at doing that consistently or keeping pace with it. So I think that transfer that I referred to, the shift